Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tank Riot. This is your Never Dull podcast, so secure your helmet and close the hatch, and by all means, visit tankriot.com and send feedback to feedback@tankriot.com.
America for 300 years has been the land of promise for the rest of the world, the land of new frontiers, new opportunities.
Sounds that reveal the presence of radioactive rays. The instrument, a Geiger counter, is converting radioactivity into sounds we can hear.
What the hell with it?
Buzzing radiation that continually bombards from outer space.
I'm here with Victor and Sputnik, and I'm Tor. Today, Victor is going to talk about Zathura, the movie. And Sputnik has some issues about a high-speed college network that was closed. And I'm going to say, what's up with Sony? So, Victor, why don't you give us a go?
Go, Victor.
Привет, американцы. Today I'll be talking about...
That'll confuse him. Let him chew on that gibberish for a while.
Zathura. And I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But I took a four-year-old Viking princess to the Jon Favreau children's flick and had a good time. So have you guys heard about this movie at all?
I have.
None.
Is it kind of a follow-up to Jumanji?
Yeah, it's by...
Yeah, I saw the preview.
Chris Van Allsburg, I think, is the guy who wrote Jumanji, but he also wrote The Polar Express.
Oh.
And he wrote Zathura, which is another board game Jumanji kind of story where these kids find a board game with magical fantasy powers. And this
roll
time
the dice and you're in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I haven't seen Jumanji. I think I've seen parts of it. And I guess that one was pretty scary, like over the top and a little bit fearsome for the little kids. But
I think so.
Zathura is like this space adventure film where one of the little boys, it's like about a six-year-old boy, a 10-year-old brother, and a 15 or 16-year-old sister who's supposed to babysit them while they're all home alone and their divorced dad is off to go to work on a Saturday or something. And
okay.
So they find this game and they go on this great adventure.
Isn't their dad played by Tim Robbins?
Yeah, and it's a walk-on, and you know he didn't ruin the film. And, you know, I don't know, maybe
not
he's...
Not like War of the Worlds.
You know, and that's the thing. He didn't ruin War of the Worlds either.
With his liberal attitude.
That liberal... yeah, that wasn't very liberal in that movie either. But yeah, no, it was pretty stiff. He was just playing a type. He was playing the dad who's divorced and working all the time or whatever. Okay. And the siblings all hate each other. And when the six-year-old finds this space adventure board game, he kind of hits go and they're on their way. And all of a sudden, the house itself is transported into space where they're taken through the clicks of the board game and they have to find their way back home again.
Okay.
And, you know, by playing the game, and they don't get home until they're done playing the game. And the kids were really, really great. It was directed by Jon Favreau,
okay,
which was kind of a surprise for me because he was the guy who wrote Swingers, mm-hmm. and he also directed Elf, which I thought was a really great kids movie with Will Ferrell as an elf. And
you're not talking about the TV show.
No, Elf.
Yeah, no hawking phones.
Okay,
ooh,
with Terry Bradshaw.
Did you guys ever see the Elf Christmas?
Oh, God, no.
No!
We used to watch that every year in college.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty good with beer.
Best. Yeah, okay. I was going to say,
so
yeah.
was Willie in there, the guy?
The father?
Yeah, the noodly father character guy?
Yeah.
That guy drove me crazy.
Yeah. I think we recorded on Beta or something.
Beta. Yeah. The favorite format of Al Bundy.
Hey, that was another Sony issue, wasn't it? Betamax? Wasn't that a Sony?
Yeah,
yes, it was.
Fool me once, can't get fooled again.
That's right.
Anyway, Favreau directed Elf, and then he's directing. He's doing a really good job with these kid films. He's doing this one, and now I guess he's moving on to John Carter of Mars. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute if you want. But the movie was really good. It was really enjoyable. Uh-huh. But it was a fantasy film. It was a fantasy science fiction film that wasn't like a lot of the hardcore sci-fi. This is like aimed at kids, like 12 to 6. The 4-year-olds, the 5-year-olds, I think it's a little scary. You know, I wouldn't want to bring a little kid to it. although I did, and it was kind of scary. But there's this Zorgon alien lizard men that come and attack the kids.
There are people who take care of that.
And then there's a robot scene where this robot malfunctions. Your robot is defective and malfunctions, and Frank Oz provides the voice of the robot, which was kind of cool.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I thought it was a really great movie. It is totally a fantasy, though. It reminded me of some of those E.T., The Explorers kind of films that were from the early 80s, late 70s, where you didn't really have to worry about the rules of sci-fi and, you know, you're in a floating house in space. You know, there's no way that's going to fly.
Just from the commercials, it looked like the film had kind of a 50s science fiction look to it.
Oh, yeah, it was really awesome that way. It reminded me of the comic books, like Alien Worlds and those kind of things.
Day the Earth Stood Still. Yeah, that kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, there's some really great comic books that were of this kind of genre where thrilling space adventures. And yeah, it was a cool movie.
You're talking about like the old Gold Key comics, that type of thing?
Definitely.
Turok, Son of Stone.
Definitely. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, the kids acted really well. They did a really great job. And there was a cameo, not really a cameo, but the adult in the film is Dax Shepard, who is from Punk'd. He's the Yeah, he's the primary improvisational guy from Punk'd, and he's done some other things, but I loved him, you know, and I loved him in Punk'd. Like, that was one of the reasons I actually liked that show, because he did such a good job at nailing people.
You could leave Ashton Kutcher out of it, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
But, you know,
but as an actor, he did a really good job, and the dialogue was a little bit adult and kind of hip, and it was, you could tell there was some improv going on, and people were really having fun, and you know, the kid actors did a great job with what they had, but I like a little, there were some space-time continuum issues that, for me, I found a little difficult to reconcile by the end of the film, but I still thought it was a really great movie, and, you know, anyone 6 to 12, this is like the perfect E.T. kind of film to take a kid to and let them really enjoy it, because when you're 12, you don't really care too much about the whole logistics of, you know, space survival. You know, you can deal with a floating house in space and a board game that controls reality. And
even after 12, I'm not too concerned about the physics of it. It's just, you know, is there some real or implied nudity?
here we go again.
I just want to be entertained, yeah.
I mean, okay. I realize it's a kid's movie, so I'm thinking zero to low nudity. And I'm just saying, I'm not complaining.
I think a couple of the alien Zorgons were nude. But, you know,
they're reptilian.
They were reptilian lizard men with axes that chase the kids around the house. So.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
You could get in trouble for that.
I'm thinking. Well, wait, are you talking about John Carter of Mars? I mean, because that's a classic.
Yeah, well, that's from Edgar Rice Burroughs, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's in pre-production right now, I guess, and Favreau's directing it. And the other thing about it is he did a really great job of not using too much CGI and overdoing it with modern special effects. This looked really pretty and really, really grand and epic, you know, with the special effects and them being in space in a meteor belt. And it was very pretty. And I saw it at the Ultra Screen at Point.
I just saw part of a Jumanji on TV the other night. And the special effects in that, you know, they're really good. But there's just something with a digitally created elephant that just doesn't quite look right. He kind of looks a little...
Well, the story was kind of creepy, I think,
for
kids.
It doesn't have the texture to it.
But what I found the most distracting about the movie was Robin Williams' excessive body hair. I mean, that man is unbelievable.
I never saw that movie. I don't think I need to.
I mean, you know, the Fisher King.
Well, the guy was living in the jungle. You know?
Yeah, but that's what he looks like all the time. That's my point. No one pasted that on him. You know, I mean,
he should have been the Beast in the X-Men 3.
Oh, it's made for him.
Exactly.
I mean, he's most
I guess
of the way
Kelsey
there.
Kelsey Grammer got the job.
Well, it's like Keith Richards being in Pirates of the Caribbean as Johnny Depp's dad. I mean, you don't even have to do anything except take the Marlboro out of his hand and the drink and say, okay, and we're rolling.
I'm in line to see that. I guess
totally
they filmed
cool.
a back-to-back. Like, hopefully it's not like Back to the Future, but I guess they did a back-to-back. So 2 and 3, there's going to be a Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
You're a slacker, ooh. McFly.
Oh, I got to catch up and see 1.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was pretty fun.
1 is pretty good. I mean, it's definitely a cut above a Disney film. Plus, you've got the up-and-comers of Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom, which really kicks it up.
Is it a Disney film, or is it a...
It is Disney. Yeah. Well, because
it's based
on
the
ride.
Disney ride.
Oh, okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Which is a really cool ride.
It is a cool ride. It's still... I mean, that ride still works for me today. You know?
Animatronic pirates.
And we're very for pirates here.
I'm
pro-pirate
here. Even Disney pirates.
By the way, Victor, as a follow-up to last week's story... This is a sidebar now. We're offline.
It's officially a sidebar. I'll have some
about
cider.
The pirate attack off of Somalia. The new word is that there's been pirate attacks all around that area. The authorities suspect a mothership. That in fact, a much larger, well-armed ship that is luring these smaller ships to go do their pirate evil.
Wow.
Perhaps it's a submarine or some kind of flying saucer.
That would be so totally cool if it were.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, you know, hey, you've got your little anti-pirate sound device now, love boat. But if the mothership comes out from the horizon, it's all over.
I just love that going on a cruise with anti-pirate weaponry. I guess that's the new thing now. There's other ships looking into getting these sonic weapons to fight pirates.
Well, here's an idea. Maybe cruise in a stable area. Yeah, I don't know. Exactly. I'm just throwing that out there. I know it's a little radical, but, you know, whatever happened to Puerto Vallarta? I mean, you know, Captain Steubing, that's where he always was. In fact, I believe, drawing upon my love boat trivia, he actually had a home there in Puerto Vallarta.
Huh.
Yeah, I used to watch a Love Boat, you know, pass the bong on Saturday night. But stay in school, kids.
You know, this is something I probably shouldn't say too much about, but when I was a kid, the Love Boat was on at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was in maybe third or second grade.
Okay.
And so right around 9 o'clock, I would tell my teacher at school that I was really not feeling well and I needed to go home and get some sleep and rest. And I would go home and watch the Love Boat. And I'd watch the Love Boat because I had a clock. I'm like, oh, the first 15 minutes, the people show up and you meet them all. The second 15 minutes, they all fall in love. Then the third 15 minutes, they hate each other, and then they all come back together. You know, I had it all figured out, and I was like, as a second grader, I was like, yeah, I understand this TV thing. And then after about a week of that, you know, where I would come in to, oh, I'm feeling better, it's 11:30, and I'm back to school.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were on to me.
I knew a kid that went home to see Bozo, but I've never heard of a kid that went home to see the Love Boat.
The Love Boat, man. Well, exciting and new.
Well, I have.
Set a course.
That's right. It's waiting for you. You know, a little Love Boat trivia here, and I read this article in TV Guide a number of years ago.
Julie was hot, by the way.
Well, that would be Miss Lauren Tweez. Okay, Miss Tweez was let go from the Love Boat late 70s, early 80s. I know you're going to be shocked by this. For cocaine use.
Oops.
She was quite thin.
Well, apparently.
And peppy.
She said, well, and there was a reason for that. So here's what it came down to. She said in the TV Guide interview that she was doing so much coke in her trailer that she got to a point where she was on the promenade deck and all the people sitting in the little chaise lounges look like corpses to her. Freaks out, barricades herself in her trailer with, you know, we can only think about as much coke as Scarface had. And the only thing that got her out was she tuned in Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers told her that she was special.
What a special friend you are.
That's right. Hi, picture. Yeah, I love that. He blinks. Yeah, he can say one thing. Hi. Okay, anyways.
Mr. Rogers is one of the greatest men that ever lived. Yeah.
That's right.
One of the great friends.
Form many great lives, yes.
You know, Mr. Rogers, you know, a big shout out to Mr. Rogers. A truly kind, gentle soul.
Plus, he had a trolley.
He had a trolley. He had the land of make believe. He had X the owl. He had everything.
Yeah. I got my
Mr.
hands
McFeely.
On a. I got my hands on a Mr. Rogers soundboard. So if you do happen to know my home phone number, you can call me and get a very special message from Mr. Rogers.
Oh, cool!
Mm. Yeah,
I will do that.
I hope work doesn't call me too often because I'm just going to confuse him.
That's right.
Well, reeling things back in here a bit on the boat.
Tori, you want to cover a story because I really got to get another beer.
Hey, we're not done with Victor yet. Victor, what would you rate Sathura on the Victor scale?
Okay, on the Victor scale, I think it's got a definite demographic. This was a really well-done film. It's a 7.0 on my scale, which is a little low because I felt there were some...
Good for a kid's film.
Definitely. I think there were some editing issues with it as an adult that I just can't explain, really. But as a 6 to 12-year-old, I think this is a perfect film for them to see. And I'm sick of all the cheese and the Chicken Littles and those kind of films, and I don't want to see any of that. And I think that for your kids, this is a good dose of that Spielbergian kind of sci-fi that's really fun, but a little bit dangerous, and not all tongue-in-cheek adult jokey. So,
okay, good quality children's entertainment.
And I will not force myself to see Chicken Little, but
yeah,
I mean, if I'm gonna weigh it like that, but for the little ones, it's a little too scary. But for the adults, it's a little.
That's right.
It's a little out there.
I Sputnik.
Definitely fun.
We'll go on record as saying Disney can just eat me.
They can suck it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Tor, cover for me. I got to go get a beer. Go.
All right. Well, if you happened to listen to last week's episode, episode 5, this is episode 6, by the way,
it's
for those of you who can't do math, Victor mentioned right near the end that there was this bad rootkit in the Sony CDs that could screw up your whole computer. Well, yes. As it turns out, the terror of Tank Riot ridiculing your product has forced Sony to pull their CDs off the shelf.
We did it, everyone.
Yeah.
We'll teach them to screw with
one
the people.
One backhanded acknowledgement in the last 40 minutes of our show showed
that's right.
Sony,
that's right.
Who's boss.
That's right.
They think they are so mighty.
So they finally realized that, okay, putting software on the CDs that when people throw it in the computer, it screws up their whole computer. An estimated maybe 500,000 computers are screwed up now. And is a bad idea. And to top it off, they wrote some software to help people get the viruses and all that stuff off their computers, but apparently that's flawed too. And in addition to that, it looks like they might be in a little legal trouble. Aside from the liability of ruining everybody's computer, it appears they have incorrectly used the LGPL license.
Bastards.
Yes, which is, they use some of that, lesser general public license, and they didn't properly, do all the legal junk you gotta do to use that software. Go to the internet if you want the details, for heaven's sakes.
That's what we did.
The internet's all about you.
And... So they're kind of in some deep water right now.
You know, I'm a huge Sony fan. I've always loved Sony.
Is that
well,
true? I don't know
yes.
if you should be
How
anymore.
So? What have you loved about Sony?
PlayStation.
Okay, PlayStation.
Oh my God,
good.
The PlayStation and the first.
Yeah, but you don't know what it's doing to your TV.
The first Tomb Raider. My television's a Sony. I mean, I love it. I mean, yeah, I love their products. But this, when I saw this, I'm like, oh God, I hate Sony. I really was mad. I'm like, this is terrible because it shows that they don't care about. You know, the end user and having your ability to have your media and have it where you want it, when you want it, and how you want it. And, you know, throwing this kind of rootkit is so sinister, you know.
That's true.
To a PC user. I use Macs generally, but at work I, you know, use PCs as well. And, you know, I'm for people being able to, you know, rip CDs onto their work computers, their home computers, anywhere they want. And part of the EULA, I guess, suggested you couldn't even rip it on your work computer. It had to be a personal home computer only. And I'm screw you. I bought your CD. I want it wherever I want it.
Should
any
be able
computer
to put it on
I
your
have.
iPod or your...
I want it, yeah.
Bring it, have a copy in your car or something.
Yeah, when my DVD player... when my DVD player went out on my my laptop, I wanted to be able to see the movies that I have. And it's so impossible to rip a movie onto... some kind of format that's of a lower quality than a DVD that you can have. So BitTorrent, everyone, is a thing you might find.
BitTorrent.
BitTorrent. Yeah. I mean, people, you turn into a criminal because they make it so difficult to have your media where and when you want it. And I think that's got to change. And this kind of DRM backlash, I hope hits them where it counts.
That's right.
That's right.
But what about Sony's harsh treatment of Prince? I mean, they turned him into an unpronounceable symbol for a number of years because of, you know.
Was that
they
Sony
did that?
That did that?
Oh, I believe that was Sony, was it not?
Prince didn't do it to himself?
No, he did that as a slave to the label. I don't know which label that was, though. That would.
I thought it was Sony. I could be wrong.
If that was Sony, then I totally missed out on that.
Could be.
I'm just saying.
And now he's just a door-to-door knocking Christian.
Listeners,
isn't he?
If I Sputnik him wrong... please respond to us at feedback@tankriot.com. I'm just saying.
But doesn't Prince, I mean, well, the artist who was formerly known as the artist who was formerly
known
as Prince.
No, he's Prince now.
Okay, he's Prince.
He's Prince again.
He's just Prince.
Doesn't he go door to door for some Mormon church group or something now?
Jehovah's Witness, I believe.
He's Jehovah's Witness, yeah.
He's a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, his whole album was news, like north, south, east, and west.
Oh, God.
Spreading the word.
Welcome to the Watchtower.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, wouldn't that be crazy? Like, if the Jehovah at your door was Prince? Yeah. I'm like, holy crap.
Does he still play all his old songs?
I only get, like, these 12-year-old kids in ties. I want Prince to come to my door and be like, right. I'll think about converting if you'll sing me a song. Wow. I'm, you know, like, oh, Nikki or, you know, just...
That's right.
Yeah, I wonder if he plays his old songs. Because I saw MC Hammer in concert during the Raise the Roof tour. And
is that right?
And he refused to play any of his old songs. He only played off the new album.
And look where that got him.
You mean he was just too legit to quit? Is that what you're saying, Tor?
That's right. That's right.
Have a time.
Dee, 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 dee. We all have our baggy pants on, by the way.
He wouldn't tell me not to touch it, and he was too legit to quit. Or he wouldn't be legit to quit.
He wouldn't touch it, though.
Something, yeah, and it's just, you know. But, well, getting back to subject here. Sputnik, what do you have for us right now?
Speaking of the whole file sharing issue, I have the death knell, or the death notice, I should say, of the i2Hub network, which was shut down just recently, in fact, November 14th. The i2Hub network is part of the Internet 2 Research Network, which connects well over 207 U.S. universities. It was set up to, you know, file share in a very fast way, medical texts and textbooks for students and so forth. And in other words, just the highest possible use of the technology. However, the Motion Picture Association of America said that users have swapped films amounting to 99 terabytes in a single day. That is the equivalent of an entire video rental store.
Nice.
Now, I, Sputnik, work in a network. We have a machine that is capable of storing 1 terabyte, and that thing is a beast.
Yeah.
99 terabytes, I don't know what this thing is, but holy Christ.
Big.
99 terabytes? I mean, that's got to be anything you can think. That's got to be like AMC, Turner Network, all of them combined, you know, in this one. And this is in traffic in a day.
I think I got a friend that's responsible for a good chunk of that. Yeah. But
man.
Won't mention his name.
Well, that's a lot of the fear of the new portable media is that, you know, you're getting so much. Like, would you want a disc that had a terabyte on it? Because, you know, one scratch.
Oh, yeah.
Out of terabyte.
But I guess you could download these huge files in just seconds. So that's why, you know, there was so much of this flying around. And again, it was set up so that students could share textbooks and research papers. But, you know, as soon as everyone saw the bandwidth on this puppy, and it's got to be just, you know, ungodly.
But, I mean, that's the new thing. I mean, you've got archive.org. You've got some, you know, there are things you can
legitimate
download.
Things.
You've got legitimate things you can get. And a lot of artists...
TankRiot.com, our podcast.
You can download it legitimately for free. And all we're asking you to do is listen to it.
That's right. And maybe email us because we're so lonely.
Yeah, you can email us if you're from Finland and we'd like to hear what the weather's like because it's probably as good as Wisconsin.
We're thinking not too well.
But you've got live concerts. You've got a lot of MP3. You've got a lot of content that you can download. And, you know, it's not all illegal.
I guess I don't understand. Why would they take down the hub? Won't people just, like, download all this stuff through the rest of the internet?
This is just the i2Hub, which was, I mean, they're not taking down the entire Internet 2 network, which was, it was set up so that you could use this really, really fast and huge broadband. You know, it's meant to be an academic network for use for, like, you know, medicine, weather forecasting, which is, you know, very... you know, data and bandwidth intensive and so forth. Obviously, if you know, when you look at Doppler radar, I mean, that's a lot of data flowing through the pipe, you know, in order to, which it reminds me of, there was a great article in Rolling Stone in the 90s about this guy that was trying to build an alternate command center for the space shuttle because they were still using mainframes from the Apollo years. Which, okay, sidebar on that. Of course, we already talked about, you know, the U.S. is going to return to the moon in 2018. Well, yes. The Chinese have said they're shooting for 2016, so I smell Ooh. Space race.
Awesome.
All right.
Maybe we can get Uncle Walt out of retirement. Today,
yeah.
Man walks on the surface of another planet.
John Carter of Mars, everyone.
John Carter of Mars. I think that's totally cool.
He just went into a cave and then found himself in Mars.
That's right.
He was hiding from some Apaches or something. And
you're going to have to.
There's all of a sudden, he's on Mars.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some splaining for John Carter of Mars, because Edgar Rice Burroughs. You know,
yeah.
What was the other guy? The Man of Bronze. Doc Savage.
Oh,
Man
yeah, Doc
of Bronze.
Savage. Yeah, that's right.
I'm wondering when that's gonna come to the screen, but apparently the recording industry has 2,100 alleged uploaders that they're targeting using peer to peer networks in 60 nations, including the UK, France, Germany, and Italy.
I gotta go.
So apparently they're really cracking down in Europe. In fact, Grokster has quit its file sharing fight, so you can't get the software anymore. But if you already have it, hey, they can't do anything about it. But despite all these, all the court issues in Europe and so forth, and the shutdown of the i2 hub, there's an average of 9.2 million users using peer to peer networks. They think. Just in October alone.
Yeah, so, and what I think is really...
But 99 terabytes, God, that blows my teenage mind.
Can't they just put a username and password thing on that? So the weatherman, so Bob Lindmeier can still get his
academic
exchange
networks,
data with Al Roker.
They don't tend to have the security that other networks have. I mean, they pretty much just open this baby up to the wind, And I got to be thinking, if 99 terabytes in a day, holy Ned.
No, I think we're under it is a revolution in how people are downloading and what they're downloading, because so many people have broadband connections now. And you've got DSL, you've got Charter, you've got all these places offering, cable modems. And I think more people are going to be downloading content. You've got things like Myth TV, which you can make a Linux-based system.
Right.
That will work like a DVR, and that's the totally awesome.
The radio and the television are becoming less necessary.
Well, that's the thing. You're
eventually
not going
to be able to
you
do
can get it
all
on demand. Just like I buy a CD, I get to listen to it whenever I want, however I want.
NBC News,
you get a
you
book,
can download
you can
that
read it
broadcast
wherever, whenever you want.
That's right.
Your TV content.
Of course, you
should
get better
way.
Information from us.
The right. only people that are going to be getting wealthy off all this is the recording industry and copyright lawyers, though.
Fuck them. I hate those guys.
Oh, I totally agree. They're the worst.
I'm sorry, but yeah, the RIAA and their whole crackdown in order to maintain their CD monopoly. Whole idea about CDs was it was going to make things cheaper.
Right.
When we came up with CDs, this will make things cheaper.
Because monopolies always make
cents.
Things cheaper.
It's
yeah, historically,
cents to make
that's
a CD.
Always true. Yeah.
And then now they've gotten nothing but more expensive. So I think they've made enough money off that. And as a musician, I want to go out and make music and play music and have fun and I want people to listen to my music and download it and do whatever they want with it.
Absolutely.
But
some people are predicting 18 months and the traditional music, RIA and all those labels are pretty much going to be toast.
It might, it might be because...
They'll be irrelevant and it'll be all on the internet. With
there's enough money in Google and Microsoft and Apple and those companies to simply buy them all out, own them, and then distribute the content however they want.
Fine. And that's the way it should be.
But I don't like Apple's idea of the download system where, you pay $1 a download. Everything's a la carte. Like, I want to watch Lost, so it's $1 an episode.
Yeah.
Well, the way it's currently pipelined to my house, I pay like $70 to get this pipeline of channels or whatever. And then I can save them all. And do I really want to pay $1 per episode for every show I want to see? Or do I want to pay like a standard flat fee to have access to everything? And then record what I want. I mean, I think they got to work on that, and there's a lot of work to be done there. But it's all going to be on demand really soon.
Also, too, I think a bad direction that Apple's gone into is the video iPod. I personally think that videos are stupid and pointless. I've thought that since '81 when MTV aired, and
it
separates you from the music. And I thought, okay, we got. Pods, we got iPods, we got MP3 players. Good, you're just listening to the music now, but now you got to watch the stupid goddamn video again. And I'm just like, why?
Okay,
why?
Well, the video iPod is more than just a video iPod to watch music videos. I mean, you watch.
Could I watch porn?
Yeah. All kinds of prawns.
That's why they
on there.
Built it.
You got porn all over. You got porn all over that thing.
I, Sputnik, am embarrassed because I did not see that technical application.
You can watch movies. You can watch all kinds of things on it. But I heard one other person say this is the ultimate dystopia. Because what you have is people plugged into a little tiny box staring into it rather than talking to each other.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, it is the ultimate dystopian nightmare. But
well, we're going to have college students walking down the street. Not only will they be plugged into the iPod and talking on their phone, they're going to be staring into the iPod.
I've seen them on their scooters, on their cell phone with the headphones on. It's just like how many things
they're
going to
be walking into
done?
So many lampposts. We're going to have to put football goalpost padding around them.
I have to do a shout out to The Onion once again because they really hit it. When the Nano was introduced, they said, oh, thank God, now I can comfortably fit over 1,000 songs up my ass.
Yeah, well, you know, I have an iPod. I'm a huge fan of it, and it broke, and I'm going to get a video iPod replacement. I'll give you a full review of what I think of it. I've never seen anything on a 2-inch screen, and I don't know if I want to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Jeez, you know, but as long as it's really tiny, I'm all behind
it. Really
it.
Tiny, so I can hold it really close to my head.
All right. Well, I have a smaller story here. This is about the search for gravitational waves, mm-hmm. which are implied by Einstein's theory of relativity, but they're really, really, really hard to tune into because they're ripples in space-time. So. In Lower Saxony, Germany, they got this like huge pipe set up. And I won't bore you with the details, but what it comes down to is these people are just sitting there waiting to actually register a gravitational wave.
Like this?
There you go. There, evidence of life on other planets.
Is that a gravitational wave?
And, you know, I could go on and on about how it works and everything and what the implications are, but you know what? I don't really care because until they sell floating cars... Was it to me?
I've seen floating cars.
Well, yeah.
Oh, hovering.
Hovering. Hoovering. Hoovering is hoovering. As we say in the UK. Okay, and also, I'd just like to do, just as a final thing, a little shout out to President Pigbag's trip to Asia. You know, the whole thing. I mean, could they bundle this guy up faster to get him out of town, get him out of Dodge? So now he's going to Japan, South Korea, China, and Mongolia. Now, what the hell is he going to do? Is he going to the capital of Mongolia, which, of course, I've always wanted to go to, Ulaanbaatar?
Mm.
And talk about what? Do we have any agreements with Mongolia? Is yak butter not flowing freely?
I think the point is it's really far away, and the farther away he gets from the news people talking about how he used Veterans Day for a PR move.
Hey, the models have been hoarding things for centuries.
You know the Democrats, they signed on for that war, you know. So, yeah, please.
Yeah, well.
Well, what they're really scared of is, and this is funny that he's even going to China and Mongolia, because the neocons are scared shitless of China's growing economic and military power. I mean, all the time, if you look at Wolfowitz, now the president of the World Bank. Oh, my God.
I mean, hate you, World Bank.
That just keeps me up at nights worrying about. he wrote in his defense policy of 2002, which is available on whitehouse.gov. Please read it because it's unbelievable. It reads like Mein Kampf. You know, this guy, it's not just, we got to make sure that the country's secure, that the homeland, the Reich is secure. Oh, no. What's really of concern is that India and China and these other countries, oh, my God, they might have more money, more influence, more power, and we can't have that because we have to keep the American century going for at least another 400, 500 years.
Well, if they
years.
Quit ruining our economy, we might have a chance here.
Yeah, it's like, look at anything you own. It's all made in China. But what do you see what we do sell to China is this, Coca-Cola and cigarettes. We're trying to get the Chinese addicted to cigarettes.
I heard someone refer to it as the Great Wall Street because China's got so much interest. In
there you go.
Ownership in the United
Mao
States.
Mao would be spinning like he was on a spit.
Yeah, so, well, we're sending all the big V8 SUVs are sucking down oil, which is going straight to Saudi Arabia. I mean, not the oil, but the money to pay for it.
Absolutely.
And all the money for all the knickknacks are going straight to China. So our economy's venting money. It's like a leaky boat.
I'd like to mention our vice president, too, but we got an explicit label slapped on us because we said dick.
Cheney.
Cheney. Yeah. Not penis. Although he is a penis.
Well, now that will be P asterisk 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 yeah. S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We meant, when we said, yeah. we meant Vice President Dick.
Cheney.
Yeah. And iTunes spelled it out D asterisk asterisk K.
Yeah, I
That's
love that.
Right.
Which, quite frankly, asterisk sounds worse than Please. Dick, doesn't it?
But I thought it was kind of funny yeah. because it made it look kind of pornographic, Dick Cheney. You know,
yeah.
like,
oh, yeah.
It's We're just... something you should not be saying out loud, people.
Well, you know, because apparently President Pigbag could not sell the FTAA. That's the formal name of it in South America, which is the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which is like an Uber NAFTA.
We own you.
Yeah. Surprisingly, the South Americans are kind of tired of being run by the, you know, invisible hand of the market up there, poo-poo.
There's no such thing as free trade.
Yeah, I mean, please.
Well,
please.
They should know that it's not such an invisible hand, and pretty soon we'll be placing someone in charge of each and every one of those countries again, you know.
That's right.
Like the old days.
Yeah, perhaps we'll call them something like a viceroy or...
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, they were buying none of it. I mean, hard to believe. But now he's over in Asia. We can only hope he'll repeat the success of his father in Japan and throw up in the prime minister's lap.
If only.
Yeah. But anyways.
Well, no, better yet. Maybe someone will throw up in his lap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so, like, that would be outstanding.
Pie in the face.
Hint, hint, hint to Chinese listeners.
Yeah, wait. Chinese listeners.
But, I mean, you know, in China, I mean, this is some real high-stakes diplomacy that we have to do because, you know, China is the second biggest consumer of oil behind us, except they're doing it for a production economy like we used to have. We just have a service economy now.
Someone was pointing out that there...
small earthquake, sorry.
Was it? Yeah. It was a 4.3 on the...
House is shaking.
Someone was pointing out that, 50 years ago there was a car, it was some kind of a steam engine where they'd made this car that ran with better gas mileage than we're getting now in modern day vehicles. And
the Stanley Steamer?
It was some kind of car that I just, I wish I'll go look it up because I just thought it was amazing that, you know, you're getting 50 miles to the gallon on a vehicle, you know, mm-hmm. that ran on gas. But the way the engine worked, you know, and you could go a decent mileage and everything, but
That's right.
now we're getting, you know, 16 miles to the gallon because no one's paying any attention to the mileage in
That's
these vehicles.
True.
And there's Although, so many cuts and there's so many,
yeah,
you know,
you keep
kickbacks.
Seeing commercial after commercial mm-hmm. where they talk about, you know, oh, but you'll get a credit card for, you know, yeah. free gas for a year. Yeah, gee, you think the handwriting's on the wall? Possibly.
I mean, hybrids are all right, but I mean, why, you know... It's frustrating.
Hybrids are all right, but by 2005, this is the best technological alternative we have is U-boat technology.
That's what I'm saying. By 2005, we're looking at hybrids. You know, I want a full grid.
Yeah.
I want the full deal.
I'll put a periscope in my Prius and call it the U571.
We just need a light rail or PRT system going everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Light rail.
Finally. It's come around.
Tor?
Yeah.
How do you feel about light rail? Here in the Madison area.
I think I covered that in episode one. As a matter of fact, I just emailed my city alder and the mayor last night asking for more mass transit funding and that we get light rail. Actually, I didn't specify light rail. I said any kind of rail. Just something on track.
Heavy rail,
light,
medium
heavy,
rail.
Heavy, subway,
I don't really care.
L train,
just give me some
PRT.
Rail.
Yeah, monorail.
Trolley, cable car. I need
monorail
something.
Monorail to the Enchanted Kingdom.
That's right. Well, those run smooth.
A rail
they do.
To, like, I mean, Milwaukee to Chicago
no,
to
you're right.
Minneapolis.
It makes total
I mean, give
sense.
Give me a break.
And we used to have
You have to drive to
light
Columbus.
Rail here.
You have to drive to Columbus from Madison to
catch
a train.
Amtrak.
Don't get me started.
Yeah,
which may or may not show up on time.
Yeah, no, it probably won't.
Government run, thank you. Please. Okay, gentlemen. Final thoughts for the week?
I just really think we're at a big turnaround on the internet with video downloads. And I think that anyone interested in video
downloads.
Podcasting might want to check out something like Channel Frederator, Fred Siebert's deal. There's some really great free content out there on the internet video. We will not rear our ugly heads into that medium because we're so much prettier on audio.
Tor.
We are very handsome men.
And so we will have you believe.
Yes.
We're pretty buff and cut too, eh?
Yeah. Let your imagination do the walking here. Yeah. All right. My final thoughts are...
Go.
I'd just stay away from Sony for a while. Yeah. And
they deserve a kick in the
pants. I'd stay away from Republicans for a while. And by all means, write your mayor, write your city alder, and ask for a rail system.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. And when Thursday rolls around, next week Thursday, just load that plate up.
Okay.
Just load that plate up.
By the way, listeners, we will be off for the Thanksgiving holidays. But until then, I, Sputnik, leave you with this final thought. A little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants. And we're out.
Radioactivity and radioactive materials have many peacetime uses. But we know, too, that they can be used harmfully, as in atomic bombs. Don't hesitate. Find trouble. Simply following the rules in this early and troubled stage of the atomic age, our very lives may depend on always being alert.